Well, good evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. It's Thursday. Let's see, it's October 3rd, beginning of October 2024, coming to you live. Let me get the buttons pushed here and have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913. If you'd like to give a call, for those of you that got power, there's still about a million out there that don't here in this country, down south, because of Helene. Going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Got some current events to go over with you, and hopefully a couple of encouraging scriptures. That's what we try to do, but we're thankful to be here, and we try to start out with a word of prayer. That's always a good place to start, whether it's if you're starting to go to sleep, or you're starting your day out, or starting a trip, or whatever it may be, especially starting a broadcast to speak to you, the Remnant. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord. Thank you for the help that you give us, that you just pour out upon the Remnant, Lord. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray your mercy and your grace on those out there, Lord, that are still hurting, Lord, those especially in the South that are suffering, Lord, from the flooding and, Lord, the loss of loved ones and the devastation and some just the loss of everything they had. So, Lord, we look to you for your strength to strengthen your people through this, to draw them closer to you during this time. And to, Lord, to let them know that they don't go through this alone, that there are others out there that love them and that love you and that are being your hands and feet and your that are doing your work in helping out. And we thank you for that. Let others see, Lord, that there's not other nations coming to help, but it's neighbors. It's neighbors. It's rednecks and hillbillies and neighbors down the street that are coming to help. And we thank you for that. Be glorified in all that we do. Father, like the song we played earlier, praise you in the storm. Help us to do that, Lord. It's easier for us that aren't in the middle of the storm to do that. But we pray, Lord, for those that are in the storm, that they would be able to praise you and be thankful that it wasn't worse. And Lord, help us to praise you always. I pray your blessings on this broadcast tonight. I pray for the Remnant, Lord, that they would have eyes to see and ears to hear your truth. And that, Lord, that we would be those watchmen on the wall, Lord, that you would give us all, the Remnant, the words to say, Lord, to reach out to others, to share your word, to ask the right questions, to point those that are blind in the right direction, Lord, to help them see the truth of your word. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, and we pray it for the Remnant and for those out there, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. And again, Remnant, the phone lines are open tonight, 307-745-5913. It's been awful dry out here the last few, days, weeks. We've been in red flag warning. Got a big fire running up there in northern Wyoming, up there outside of Ranchester and old little bitty towns up there. But about 50,000 acres today, I think, and didn't have any containment. We've got some crews on it. And we've got a couple of members on the ministry up in that area. I don't have phone numbers for them, but I'm hoping they'll reach out to us. I hope they're okay. We've certainly prayed for them. But it's awful dry out here. I got my bottle of water here, so I'll try to keep a halfway decent voice tonight to get through. A lot to cover. Want to let you know, praise the Lord, we put Volume 10, 2024 Dragon Slayer Newsletter in the mail today. Finished printing it this early afternoon, just after lunch. Had kind of a busy day today. Ran down to the print shop right after doing some things around the ranch here. and got volume 10 in the mail. And so if you're on our newsletter list, let us know. Today is day one. The post office got it on the 3rd. And so I think they've been doing pretty good getting it out there. If, again, like we ask, if you could, let us know when you get it. Just drop us a note, a text, if you have our cell numbers, or an email or a phone call or something, and let us know. But it's part 3, final part of Firearms and Freedom by Colonel Moore. And I think you'll enjoy it. It's we have the complete booklet by Colonel Moore, Firearms and Freedom. It's a little book. Be glad to make it available. We've had people order them in bulk to pass them out and to give them away and things like that. And so we'd be glad to work with you on that. We've done that. But another great Hand That Rocks the Cradle article. I think you'll enjoy that. We kind of highlight also some additional books by E. Raymond Capt. Basically on the history, most of his books are on true archaeological history, whether it's the Great Pyramid decoded, or the traditions of Glastonbury, or a study in pyramidology, whatever it may be, and that's just a couple of them. He's got over a dozen books just that we carry, and so we've advertised them again. They're great books to have. Historical truth, and what a true blessing it is to have truth in these days of lies. We are certainly in the time that that evil is called good and good is called evil, and so it's good to have. I mean, I sure like being able to have books that are true history, whether it is like the scalp dance that we've got back and offering, telling about the settlers on the plains and the Indian Wars. It's truth. The execution by hunger, the truth of Stalin trying to wipe out the Ukrainian farmers in the late 20s and early 1930s. Of the last century, and these books by Raymond Capt are that way as well. They're not politically correct, but they are truth in a world of lies. How about that? And so we've got them offered to make sure you can have them available as well. And you know, with Thanksgiving coming up, summer's over. It is fall. Parts of Colorado have a frost warning tonight. We've had frost here almost a dozen nights so far, not in a row, but so far. And so Thanksgiving is right around the corner. And so also in this Volume 10 newsletter, again, we have a little Thanksgiving preview just to try to get ahead of the game to let you know that if you don't have the books, The Light and the Glory, or From Sea to Shining Sea, which are historically Christian accurate history books of the founding of this nation. And they have them for young readers as well. The Light and the Glory for children, and From Sea to Shining Sea for young readers. We have them available. They're not, I can tell you, this generation, the last generation and this generation now, they're not taught this in the public school system. But still, it's truth. It's truth. And so we have those available as well. So I think you'll enjoy the newsletter. Jason had a great little, from the editor, a good article. Things that are going on, quite a bit going on globally with the United Nations and, seeing what their plans are. And not to be fearful, but to be aware. And we do encourage you to continue to pray Psalms 91 and Psalms 83, and that's our latest bookmark New Bible bookmarker that we talk about is Psalms 83. We've got some of those made up. We'd be glad to send you one if you'd like one. No charge for that. And you let us know. And we've sent quite a few out already. But if you'd like one, you just let us know. And we'd be glad to send it to you. And the Psalms 91 as well. You know, the Psalms 91, it what an encouraging psalm. You know, 1,000 may fall here and 10,000 on the other hand, but it won't come near me because we are in the shelter of the Most High. And what an encouragement that is. It just is. It's the attitude we are to have today. Not an attitude of fear, not an attitude of worry, but an attitude that if the Lord is for me, what can man do to me? And when we have that attitude, you know, it's an attitude of gratitude as well. I think it truly sets our day. But it is a choice that we have to make. It really is. It's a choice. Well, got some current events I want to cover with you today, this evening. I saw the headlines at the port strike on the East Coast. We'll call it over for now. They said they did, I guess they accepted a pay raise and put their big issues on automation on the table. And so they're going back to work tomorrow. Maybe they're already back. And that's good in a way. It's good that there won't be a huge backlog at the ports, hopefully. But, you know, I think that it brought to attention the massive amount of imports that it takes for this country to operate. Way too many. You know, too much of our money goes to the foreign shipping companies. And too much of our money goes to foreign countries. And too much of our money goes certainly to the corporate greed that has taken jobs from America and shipped them overseas to make more money because of their greed. And more people are realizing that. Saw, you know, quite a few posts and emails, actually got some text as well that, you know, if you're buying products that are made in America, those don't have to be unloaded off of a foreign cargo ship. Those don't come over in those big containers, those big 40-foot and 20-foot containers, if it's made in America. You don't have to worry about that. Has everyone woken up to it? No. But when we have things like this, I think that's how we have to look at it, that God uses it to awaken people that aren't awake yet. You know, different things wake up different people. And I think this port strike, I've talked to a couple people myself just in the last 2 days that, you know, have said, hey, you know, they've told me, hey, if we were manufacturing stuff here in the States, we wouldn't have to worry about that. And how true it is. You know, when back in 2016, when President Trump was first elected, that was one of the things he did with aluminum, was he got some steel, did his best anyway to get some steel manufacturing, aluminum manufacturing plants back up and running. If you, God forbid, you had to go to war as a nation, you might need steel and aluminum producing capabilities. And if you're relying on all that to be shipped in or flown in or whatever, brought in, whether it's train or ship or whatever, that's an issue. That's a national security issue, whether you want to believe it or not. And he went to changing that to where we didn't have to rely on foreign. Now, we're back in that same boat that we were in. anyway, don't want to get off, but it is good to hear that the port strike was over. I was hearing that they were scavenging toilet paper again, that they were hoarding it, and I got a report that the Costco down in Colorado was out, that one out in Virginia was out of toilet paper, and you know, and it's not that stuff gets imported. That's made in America. But the people are hoarding. They freak out. They get scared. Oh, and see, that's what they worship. That's what they worship. What's the first thing they run and buy up? Toilet paper. It tells you where their mind is. It's in the absolute gutter. And they worship that god of dung. It's just by their actions. And it's sad that it's that way. But it appears that it is. And so, but anyway, the port strike over, that's good, I guess. Good or bad, it sounds like that that's not something that's going to be in the headlines for a while. The aftermath of Hurricane Helene, still just absolute ravished parts of North Carolina. I guess in Tennessee as well, but mainly North Carolina. Florida got hammered. Georgia got hammered. But again, just not near as bad as North Carolina. And I think that, the people in Florida and Georgia, the governors I've noticed, and the National Guard, and the rescue teams, and the electric lineman crews and whatnot, they're working hard. They're right back at it, getting, they're working in their neighborhoods and their counties and their states. But they realize as well that, and I've talked to a few of them, that they don't have it near as bad as those up in the Carolinas. And, they're still digging people out of rubble. They're still... I saw the headline tonight before I came on the radio, over 1 million without power. 1 million people still without power here in, it's still pretty warm out there as well. I know some in residential areas of Savannah just got it back early this week. And I talked to some family members down there, but still further up in the Carolinas and parts of Georgia, 1 million people without power. We take that for granted. Many times we do that. The light switch is going to work. The light's going to come on when we flip that switch. And if it's hot, well, we turn that air conditioner on and it cools it off. And if it's a little too cool, we flip the other switch and the heat comes on and warms it up for us. And that stove comes on and the heater in the house and all those things. And I think we do many times take it for granted. But there's 1 million that still here a week later don't have power. And so, Remnant, if you're searching for something to be thankful for, well, be thankful if you have electricity, if you have power. And if you're thinking of you need something to pray about, well, pray for those that don't. Pray for those that don't. Seeing quite a bit of that, it seems like that, especially with social media the way it is, you don't have to watch it on Fox News. You can see the between the different social media platforms, the people that post videos and pictures and the things that you see from communities. And, when we have a tragedy like this in the nation, it really, I had a Christian, a new Christian brother Tuesday was sharing this with me. He said, it really brings out the best in people. It does. We see that. We see people risking their own lives to help and save others. And we see people spending their own money and their own time and their own fuel to get supplies and take to those that are in need. And And we do see that. We do. It's one of the marks of true Israel. It really is. It's not that the people in this nation sit, at least most of them, I think, don't sit back and just say, well, the government's coming. Buddy, you just hang in there. The government will be here in a day or two to help you out. That's not how the people in these impacted areas are. Kind of like that Cajun Navy that you've heard about. Well, they're up there. I think they've got an Air Force, the Cajun Navy Air Force, and they were operating for a few days up there. And so it just really does. You know, there's so many that are impacted. I've heard over 200 confirmed dead so far. Still have communities that they are just now getting to, have only been able to get to by air, small communities up there in the mountains. And so, Remnant, there's plenty to pray about. There is. What a difference a day makes, but what a difference in a week. You know, a week ago, these people up there would have never imagined that their towns would be wiped out. Those 50 people rescued off the top of their county hospital. Now, you think about that, Remnant. Think about your local hospital. Okay, I think about ours up here. It's like 5 stories tall. Well, this county hospital, I think, had two floors, and they were flooded out. They had about 50 doctors and nurses and patients up on the roof, and they had to be helicoptered off because the hospital was flooded. And so, you know, these entire towns, libraries, and stores, and doctor's offices, and hospitals, and convenience stores, gas stations, Walmarts. I saw a picture of one Walmart. The people were walking through. The water was over knee-deep, the whole store. Well, you know, anything that touches, that stuff is ruined. And my heart doesn't break for Walmart, but, you know, just imagine that in your community. And, you know, if you're not having to face that, well, pray for those that are. Pray for strength for them. Pray for health for them. Pray for, you know, it's unfortunate, but so many are on medication. So many are on oxygen. You know, pray for those that that rely on those things, as so many of our people do. My daughter is diabetic. She is on insulin. Now, we're not dependent every day to have to get up there. We've got a little stockpile. We get by for a little while. But not everybody is in that position. Not everybody's that way. So, Remnant, there's plenty to pray about. We are living in biblical days. We truly are. We truly are. I don't know what else to do. You know, we've talked about being prepared. We many of us feel led to be prepared as much as we can, maybe to try to follow the example of Joseph when he was told about the 7 good years and the 7 gaunt and drought years that would follow. And he was told to get ready, to stock up, to prepare. And many of us have kind of taken that attitude and that outlook on it. Now, if you haven't, or if you can't, it's not, that's certainly not a sin. I don't think it's a sin to prepare. It's not a sin not to. I think it's wise to be prepared as much as you can, even if it's just for maybe a day or two of the power out. Right? It's good to have a little bit of water stacked up. I was talking to one person down in Georgia, and they said, yeah, we got a flat of water. They called it their hurricane water. Got a flat of water, and I think 4 or 5 jugs of water, you know, and That's just for drinking. Said, you know, if we need to put some in the toilet, then we can get some from outside and this and that. And I said, well, that's great. That sounds like a good start. And I said, from here on out, double that. Have two flats of water. And there's just two of them. Have two flats of water. Have 8 or 10 gallons of water stored up at least. As long as you have room and you have the finances to do it and rotate it. And it just, again, it makes things, when things, the proverbial, you know, what hits the fan, it makes it more of an inconvenience than a disaster. Now, I'd much rather deal with an inconvenience than I would a disaster. How about you? You know, if there's just a difference there. You know, the power goes out if you have flashlights, if you have, you know, if that's what you need at night or whatever, you have alternative power sources or something. Well, when the power's out, it's an inconvenience. It's not a disaster. And I think you can apply that in just about any way when it comes to that. You know, out here out west, sometimes the power goes out in the wintertime. Well, if you're relying on electricity to run your furnace, even if it's a gas furnace, that could be a disaster. If you have a wood-burning stove or a gas-burning stove that doesn't require power or something, or you have a little generator that can take the place of that, well, then it's more of a inconvenience than a disaster. And I just think that we should have that attitude. You know, try to be a good Boy Scout. You know, the Boy Scouts motto, the old motto when it was good, the good Boy Scouts was be prepared. And this ministry has always talked about that. I think I talked about that last week. I shared the little book by Jerry Yonkins from the 80s, You Have Been Warned. We've had a couple people order it. And again, it's a good outline. It's a good start. It's by no means a complete glossary, but it gives you some good ideas. Anyway, and I think that when we have examples like what's happened in the Carolinas with Helene, that if we don't pay attention to it, if we see things happening and we ignore them, you know, kind of like Jesus talked about the signs of the times. Do you remember that? He said, you know, when you see the fig tree blossom, when you see the blooms come out, you know it's summertime. You can tell. Or when you see the red sky in the morning, you know what the weather's going to be. But you can't discern the signs of the time. See, these things were happening then, and the people didn't realize it. Or if they knew about it, they ignored it. And so, you know, Remnant, we should not ignore the things that we see happening in this nation. You know, Helene was a terrible storm that hit America, right? I think everybody can agree with that. Helene was a terrible storm that wrecked just devastation and death in America. Well, guess what? There's other storms that America is facing. We for those of us that know, you know, we try to get that word out to let people know. And you know, many times people say, well, what do we do? What do we do? You know, even when people realize maybe they've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, what do we do? And the answer there is the same answer it's always been. You know, back in 1 Samuel, they were coming to Samuel saying that very thing. We've added to our sins. We ask for a king. And so that wasn't the only sin, but boy, that was a humdinger on top of it. But you know, they had basically denied God. They said, we want to be like everybody else, back there in 1 Samuel 12. But you know, they realized it, at least the ones that this story tells about, they realized it. And they came to Samuel and said, pray for us. Because we've done wrong. You know, in Samuel, 1 Samuel 12, 20, Samuel says back to the people, he says, do not fear. You have committed all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. You must not turn aside, for then you would go after futile things which cannot profit or deliver, because they're futile. And then he says, the Lord will not abandon his people, verse 22, on account of his great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for himself. Okay? And, you know, I think it's pleasing to God that in the midst of death and destruction, that so many people do have the best brought out in them, that they do spend their time and their money and their effort, that law that is written on their heart to love God and love their neighbors themselves. See, that's why they do it. Why aren't the Chinese over here flying in airplanes and helicopters and aid? How come the Mexicans aren't up here doing that? Okay? How come the Sudan didn't send over a ship? They don't have a ship on the way to come over and help with disaster relief. Why not? Because the law is not written on their heart. But why is it that you see the people here do that? Unlike almost any other nation in the world. Oh, there's other nations that help out. The Caucasian Anglo-Saxon ones. Because that law is written on their heart. Because the Lord has made a people for himself, and that is one of the covenants. Is that he will, that's the new covenant, right? That he will no longer, you won't have to teach, but that he'll write his laws, statutes, and judgments on people's heart. See, that's why you have people that have private helicopters that spent 3 or 4 days flying supplies and their own money, their own fuel, spent days flying water and medical supplies into those that were hurt. That's why you had people that took Suburbans and vans to Costco and King Supers and the grocery stores and spent hundreds and thousands of dollars stocking up and with supplies. And, oh, they didn't unload them in their garage. No, they took them out to parking lots. Where these people were hurt and devastated and lost everything, and they just said, here, come take it, whatever you need. Why? So they could get their face on the news? So they could get a TikTok post or something? No, that's not why they did it. Because the law is written on their heart. So, Remnant, I hope that you remember those things when we talk to our friends and our family that aren't familiar with these terms. That, you know, we can say, yes, it is terrible. Yes, we do pray for those people that are devastated. But, you know, it does give people an opportunity to help, to show that law that's written in their heart, and that this is why these people help out. It's not like a speed limit law. Well, I might go 5 or 10 over today, or today I might obey it, or what. See, the law written on your heart, you just can't help it. Now, you can suppress it. You can ignore it, but it's still there. It's still there. And I just think it is really neat when we get to see that in action. And it's unfortunate that it's in the you know, the aftermath of these terrible events, but that's just how it is. So Samuel is telling the people, 1 Samuel 12, and then on it he says, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. But I will instruct you in the good and the right way." And this is the instruction in the good and the right way. He says, "Fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you." Consider what great things. Consider the great thing that you do not live in Asheville, North Carolina this week. That's a great thing, let me tell you. It is. It's a great thing that you don't, if you don't live in Boone, North Carolina this last week, or Chimney Rock. Now, you can also say there, "But by the grace of God go I," because that could come to your neighborhood or mine, regardless of where you live. But God has done great things for us. He has blessed us. He has given us the opportunity to instruct in the good and the right way, to have maybe the iron that we are sharp another iron, right? We are to do that. If we have grace or comfort or knowledge or blessings, what are we to do? We're not to hide it under the rock. We're not to hide it under a bushel. We don't just get our blessings and go hide on the mountain. No, what do? We share with others. It doesn't mean we pour out our pocketbook on them, but, you know, we share the grace and the mercy, the knowledge that we have. That's what we are to do. We are to be watchmen. And like he says here, "Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord." So what is a sin against the Lord? Ceasing to pray for you. And Remnant, if you have somebody on your mind, if you've got a nephew that's a prodigal, or a niece, or an uncle, or a spouse, or a friend, somebody you work with, go back and read 1 Samuel 12, verse 23. Don't sin by not praying for them. The sin of the righteous has much power and gets things done. And that's what we need in our lives. That's what these that are lost, our nieces, our nephews, our uncles, our friends that that are in the world instead of in his marvelous kingdom by choice. They need our prayers. They need us to be on the straight and narrow and to be like Samuel saying, "Far be it from me that I would stop praying for you." That's what he said. "I'm not going to sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, but I'm going to instruct you in the good and right way," right? He didn't back down off that. He didn't back down. And he told them, "Serve and fear the Lord. Serve him. Serve him. And remember what he's done. Acknowledge him." See, when you read in Romans, you see that was one of the reasons that the people were given over to their lustful passions. Their lustful, the filth that they were given over to. They had ceased to acknowledge God. And Samuel's saying the same thing here. Consider what great things he has done for you. Did you see the beautiful sunrise this morning? Oh, man, the colors. And the sunset this evening on the opposite end, out to the west. Man, what a beautiful painting that was. But God has done great things for us. We have to remember to acknowledge that. We do. And Remnant, it's not just us here at the ministry to put the word out. It's for each and every one of us, right? for each and every one of us. You know, we are to, and the time is just such that it is actually easier to put the truth out. Not that you ever have to hide the truth, not that you have to protect it, but maybe it's just easier. Maybe people are starting to wake up to it. Maybe people are starting to be a little more receptive to it. Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 3, the time that was is very similar to the time we're in now. In Ezekiel 3, let's take a look at a couple quick verses. Then the angel of the Lord said to me, "Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel." And then in verse 4, "Go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them." And I encourage you to read it. Ezekiel 3 is very enlightening. It really is. Don't have time to get into all of it tonight, but he goes on in verse 6 and says, "But I have sent you to them who should listen to you." He said, "But they are stubborn and obstinate." You know, that means they don't want to hear what you have to say. Now, you're saying my words to them, but they don't want to hear what you have to say. They are stubborn and obstinate. So I encourage you to read it. Read it. You know, verse 8, verse 9 from Ezekiel, he says, "I'll make your face as hard as their faces, your forehead as hard as their foreheads." He says, "I'll make you just as stubborn and obstinate, but in a good way." In a good way. That's encouraging to me. He goes on in verse 9, he says, "Don't be afraid of them or dismayed before them, although they are a rebellious house." And so we have to remember that, remnant, that when we are given the word, we're to tell them. We're to share it. We're to tell them. And you know what? They may call us haters, but we share the word of God because we're lovers, because we love God, and we love our neighbors ourselves. And we want them to be saved. Oh, not saved in the Judeo way, but saved in every way possible. Saved from their sins, saved from their sicknesses, saved from the hands of those that hate them. Saved in every way possible. So I encourage you, read Ezekiel 3. It's encouraging to me. It is. You know, we continue with the broadcast. We put out all that we can. But you know, Ezekiel then was told the same thing. Tell them, just put the word out, right? Put the word out. Verse 11, he says, "Go to the exiles, to the sons of your people. Speak to them and tell them, whether they listen or not." Tell them whether they listen or not. And, you know, I think that "tell them" is not just with words, but with words and deeds. Tell them, show them, prove to them, give them an example, right? Tell them, you know, many times, what do we see? Our actions do what? Our actions speak louder than our words. So I don't think it would be inappropriate here to say, you know, when God says, tell them whether they listen or not, tell them certainly with words, but also by what you do, you know, but also by what you don't do. And it might be, you know, tell them by who you hang around with and who you don't. Tell them by what you eat and what you don't. Tell them by the language that you use or the language that you choose not to use. But again, it's it's, you know, don't fear them, right? It's whether they listen or not, whether they listen or not. Take these words, you know, he uses the term there, you know, eat what you find, eat this scroll, fill your stomach, fill your body, and then give it to the house of Israel. Give it to the exiles. Because, you know, there's some out there that hear it and go, holy smokes, really? That's how we were. Oh, man, about 31, 32 years ago. I was sharing that with my daughter that wasn't alive then, that was how we came into the ministry. Was my wife's family was sharing this with us, and we were mocking them and laughing at them. God forgive us. We didn't know any better. And God has compassion when you're ignorant of his word. But then when he shows you his word, he expects a little different. But I remember my wife and I about the same time finally just coming to the conclusion. It's like, you know, why don't we just read this word and see if what the family is saying is true or not? See, that's called seeking, making a decision. Okay, yeah, let's do that. And man, we started in Genesis, and the more we read, the more sense it made. Because when you seek, you find. His word is true. Whether you believe it or not, the word is true. Hopefully you come to believe all of it. But that's what we are to do. Like Ezekiel, we are to tell them. Tell them the true story of repentance. That yes, you must believe, but that's a beginning. You know, the devil believes, and he ain't a Christian. In James 2, you can read how the demons believed. So you better do more than believe. I know the Bible says believe and you'll be saved. And you have to believe. That's a start. But it's not the end. It's a start. Tell them. Tell them who they are. Tell them the true biblical plan of salvation. That you have to believe, yes. You have to repent. You have to be baptized. That is where, you know, read Romans 5. That's where you join, you're joined in the glory of his death. You join him in death so you can join him in his resurrection. And then, you know, you turn away from evil. You make better choices than you did before. You have a better quality of life in God's eyes. Don't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. It's what does that word say? Tell them. Tell them. You know, I've had the opportunity to ask questions. People have been talking about the rapture, and I've asked questions. What scriptures can I see that in, please? Asking for a friend. Hadn't got any good ones back yet. Oh, I've got a couple there, Thessalonians, you know. Then we'll be gathered with him in the sky. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then he'll come with his angels. And it's like, yeah, at the resurrection, at the final coming. But I don't read anywhere where the God's people were just taken out and the evil was allowed to flourish. You know, David didn't write that. David didn't write, oh, Lord, it's bad times right now. Just let the evil continue, but take me out of it, Lord. Just take me somewhere else. You know, David never prayed that. What did he pray? He said, wipe them out, O Lord. O Lord, don't be silent. Make them be as dust clouds. Burn them up. Let them be like chaff in the wind. Wipe them out. Burn them up. Send them back to the pits of hell they came from. little paraphrasing there, but that's what it was. And, you know, somebody may say, well, you know, Lot was taken out of Sodom and Gomorrah. He was just moved over, given the opportunity. And what happened to the evil of Sodom and Gomorrah? It was what was wiped out. It was wiped out. The evil is what was taken out. When we turn back to God, that's what we're to tell them. When we turn back to God, as Samuel said, do not fear. Turn aside. Do not turn aside from following the Lord. Serve the Lord with all your heart. Fear the Lord. Serve Him in truth. And you know what? If we do that, the economy gets better. And the nation gets better. And the health gets better. Because the Word says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And I believe that. And for those that do as Samuel said and do as Ezekiel said and return to him, it's better. It's better. It is. Well, folks, I'm out of voice. That's all I got tonight. Thanks for tuning in. Want to invite you to come and have a cup of coffee with us Saturday morning, coffee with the Wranglers. Join us. We'd love to pour you a cup of coffee. Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, and 6 a.m. on the West Coast. Join us for Coffee with the Wranglers right here at scriptures4america.org. God bless. We'll talk to you Saturday morning.
Down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again I say amen, and it's still raining. As the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through. God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands. You are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cry, you hold in your hand. You never left my side. Almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls.